According to you? Okay. So being a dreamer is important. And so the title of this series is Dreamers, Be One. And the title of today's message is Don't Let the Dream Die. So we're going to do this for 3 weeks. And then we're going to go straight into that fourth week into God and Country Sunday. And I'm sure I will do something that is completely politically incorrect. I have no idea what it'll be, but it's always politically incorrect. And I'll be in my boots and my jeans. I'll have my gun strapped on my side. And if you don't like that, too bad. Because that's what I'm doing around here on God and Country Sunday. This is Texas, and I'm going to be a full Texan that day. Amen. Page one, number one of your bulletin. There have always been men and women who refuse to allow circumstances or their surroundings to limit their faith or their dreams. And these are the people who seem to stand head and shoulders above others and are willing to stretch their faith and themselves to see God's plan come to pass in their lives. The Bible is full of people. You got Abraham, Joshua, Paul. I mean, you got all kinds of them who boldly pursued God's plan and would not give up on it no matter what. In the face of what seemed to be impossible odds, they took God at His word and believed Him regardless of the circumstances. And today the Holy Spirit, I believe, has put a dream inside hearts of His children. I think God has done that. I think the Holy Spirit has done that. Christians everywhere, share the same longing for more of His presence, an increase of the anointing, the blessings of God on our families and businesses and finances. We are the dreamers, and we are here now. With the dreams that God has, He put them in us in abundance. He planted them in our hearts. And at a very crucial time in history, God gave two dreams to a young man named Joseph. These dreams were described in Genesis chapter 37. And most of us are familiar with that story, so I'm not going to go read that. I don't have time to read all of Genesis 37. Most of us are very familiar with the story, so I'll kind of summarize pieces of it as I get to it later in the message. But these were dreams that would guide Joseph's entire life, but would eventually end up delivering him and his family and his nation. So when Joseph began to tell others about the dreams, he was misunderstood, mistreated, and despised. Yet in spite of the mistreatment that other people gave him because of his dreams, he stayed true to the dream. And in Genesis 37:13, we find that Joseph's father, who was Jacob, and who is Jacob? What's another name for Jacob? Israel. Okay. So Israel was the founder of Israel, the father of Israel, you could say, is Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph. And so he sends him to check on his brothers who were out in the field tending their flocks. And Joseph told his brothers about one of his dreams. And that caused them to despise him and hate him. And it filled them with anger and it filled them with rage. So when they see Joseph coming across the field, they have this really sarcastic thing they say. In Genesis 37:19, they say, "Behold, the dreamer is coming." And they didn't say that as a compliment. They said that sarcastically. Joseph had told his brothers about his dreams, but Joseph was no normal dreamer. His dreams were powerful and filled with seeds of his future. Page one, number two. Most people merely fantasize about the future. Joseph did more than fantasize. He believed his dreams, he embraced his dreams, and he ran towards his dreams and refused to let go of his dream, and ultimately, he lived out his dream. Number three. And I believe that as we approach the end times, which I think we're getting to, God's raising up people all over the world who are running towards the dreams He has planted within their hearts. And they're not wasting their days wishing things were different. We all wish things were different, don't we? Yes. Well, you can wish all you want, but until you start running towards that dream and doing something about it, your wishing does nothing. They have embraced the desire that God has placed in them, and they're pushing God, that they're pursuing God, that they want to see those dreams come to pass in their lives. And God used dreamers throughout history. Jacob had a dream of a way to transfer the wealth of his dishonest father-in-law to himself, and that came to pass. The Pharaoh in Joseph's time had a dream, and it showed him something to come. And Joseph's wisdom and insight into that dream changed the history, not only for his nation, but also the nation of Egypt. God used dreams, and he uses them, and he wants to, you know, Mary and Joseph. He used dreams to guide Joseph before Jesus was born and after he was born to keep the child safe. Number four on page one. God-given dreams are not always given in, you know, we think dreams, and what do we think? We think about sleeping, right? Okay. I am talking about that, but that's not exclusively what I'm talking about. Many are like pictures of the future which are painted on the canvas of your heart. And sometimes you begin to desire specific things that actually are God-inspired desires. And they can continue to increase in you. You know, they come into focus as you start working. They start developing into something powerful and real on the inside of you. And the more you realize that God has shown you a part of his plan, the more empowered you get, the more focused you become. Now, there are four things I believe that are important in order to see your God-given dream become a reality. Number one, which is number five on page one of your insert. The first one is, God will deliver you from everything that has been preventing you from receiving. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed him. If if you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, how do you abide in Jesus' word? Study the Bible, right? If you abide in me, or if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So that would imply what? That if you're not in the word, you are not his disciple. Okay, I'll say it again because y'all are looking at me like I lost my mind. If you abide in my word, now this is Jesus talking. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So couldn't you turn that around and say, if you don't abide in my word, you are not my disciples? Does that make sense? Okay, but if you're abiding in the word, if you're taking the word of God inside of you, which is why we teach, get in the word, get in the word, get in the word all the time. It's about being in Christ. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Say, make me free. When the power of God's truth is alive in your heart, it makes you free. Switch over to page two. His word does more than just set you free. It makes you free. Say, it makes me free. And so when you are made free, you're a new person free from the bondages of the past. And the more God's word is alive in your mind and spirit, the more liberty you experience. You become free to think his thoughts and know his ways. When you are free from bondage, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life and gets in your inner man. And as you meditate on the Word and you pray in the Holy Spirit, you experience the delivering power of God rising up within you. In the midst of any situation, you can rely on God's strength within you to keep you free. Because he doesn't set you free, he makes you free. What's the difference? Somebody tell me what the difference in those two things would be. Okay, so if this chair is my slave, and I set that chair free, does it still have all of the baggage in its mindset of being a slave? Does it? But if I make it free, everything's gone. All right, let's get that to our salvation. What does it say? I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We've taught this many, many times, right? I have been made, so that's what I am. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. Reach forward to those things which are ahead. But I can't forget those things if I'm just set free. The only way I'm going to forget those things is if I'm made free. Or you could say remade free. Does that make sense? So there's no small detail in the Bible that's not important. There's a whole lot of difference between being set free and made free. And so we are made free as we get the Word of God inside of us. And each step towards God's dream in your life requires you to draw upon His strength that's deposited in your heart. And God has already given you, the victory. We know that. We work, stand, and operate from victory. When you know you are totally free in Him, a temporary setback won't bother you. God's plan is to continually refine you, continually mold you into a more successful vessel. And not through tests and not through trials, but through an intimate relationship with Him. Now, Jesus said we're going to go through the tests and the trials. But God doesn't bring them. But He'll fix them. You need to understand, Romans 2:4 tells us it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance or change, not tragedy and not disaster. Look around our country today. If tragedy and disaster could fix something, we'd be fixed. That's not how it happens. It is the goodness of God. It's the goodness of the people of God that will bring people in and unite people. It's the Word of God. And the closer you walk with the Lord, the more He reveals things in your life that do not please Him. He's always teaching and encouraging you to rise up to greater levels of life. His ways, listen to me, His ways are the ways that bring the greatest benefit and results in our lives. I need you to get this. Somebody walks in here and they're just a rascal. I mean, they are not a good person. And they get saved. Now, God may perform a miracle, but odds are when they walk out of here, they're still a rascal. Because they don't know anything. All they know is the life they know. That's all they know. Which is why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together. All right? So, because we have to learn the Word of God. So, things that person does this next week, if I did, God would just, it would not be pleasant. Why? Because I know better. I walk in more revelation. But because I walk in more revelation, I walk in more power and more anointing. There's a benefit side of it. Now, that person comes to church week after week. They're diligent. They're faithful. And they come to church. I heard a preacher say this week, he said, I had somebody come up and say to me, I've been at church 4 weeks in a row. Am I faithful? Not yet, he said. Said it takes a lot longer than 4 weeks in a row. So that person's faithful. Well, as the Word of God gets in them and starts doing what the Word of God does, which is cleaning up our messes, 6 months from now, are they going to be doing all the same stuff that they were doing the day they walked in here? But are they still going to be doing some of it? Probably. Because, you can't learn everything today. It is a process. But as we walk in the Word of God, as we learn the Word of God, we become more and more like Him. He pulls those things out. And the minute you get your handle on... Now, how many of you have ever... It's like you live a certain way. This is how it's supposed to be done. Whether it's in business, it's in marriage, it's in raising kids, it's in going to church, it's in whatever it's in. This is the way it's supposed to be done. This is normal. This is how children act, men act, women act, business act. This is how it is. Right? And then you read something in Scripture, and it completely contradicts the way everybody else is. So now we have a choice. We say, paradigm change. What I knew to be true is no longer true. that has now been replaced with the truth. Did you get that? What I've known to be true is no longer true and is replaced with the truth, which is the Word of God. Okay? So when that happens, what happens? Well, you have a choice to make. Is God going to make you change? But now that you have knowledge, are you accountable for that knowledge?
Yes.
So, people do not like it when I say this, and I know it, but it's too late. Sorry. I'm already going there. So, we want to think sin is black and white, right? I think sin is more gray than we think. And don't get me wrong. I don't mean we ought to go out and sin. What I'm saying is, remember we just talked about that guy? That he gets saved, but this week he still goes out and he does all his stuff? The Holy Spirit's going to start working on him, right? But God's going to let him get away with some of that stuff as he works on him. But once he gets a revelation of, oh, I can't go get drunk anymore. Now he's got a decision to make. Do I go party on Friday night, every Friday night like I do, and I wake up Saturday morning throwing up and miserable? That's been my life for 20 years. That's what I do. But something is said in a service, and the Holy Spirit tweaks that in him. Now he has a choice to make. And I'm going to make this statement, and people are going to disagree with me, and it's okay. You can disagree with me. It's fine. Was what he was doing... I keep pointing over here, Jody. I'm not pointing at you, Jody. There's an empty chair right here I'm pointing at, okay? So I'm pointing at that person right there. Not at you, at that person right there. That invisible person. Okay. So if that person got saved, kept doing what they're doing, and last Friday night went out and got plastered, was it sin? Okay, now he comes to church Sunday and gets a revelation from the Holy Spirit that's defiling my body, that's defiling the Holy Spirit. He gets a revelation that, oh my goodness, that's wrong. That's sin. Now, if I go out and do it this Friday night, is it sin? But was it sin the week before?
No.
See, I know it's going to be debatable. Except, I have no knowledge that it's sin. So, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And I'm not saying we can get away with everything because we don't know. But what I'm saying is there's a level of grace there that God says, okay, you did that, and you've done that, and you've done that, and you've done that, and yeah, you're saved, yeah, you're going to go to heaven, but we're working on you. But now you know. And now that you know, you are accountable for what you know. Now, if you go out this Friday night and do it, all those Friday nights before, Satan wasn't there Saturday morning convicting you of what a lousy Christian you are. But now that you have knowledge, when you wake up Saturday morning, Satan is going to be there just beating you bloody because now you have knowledge that that is sin. And the Holy Spirit's going to be there saying, I told you, but let's get it right. Get up, make yourself right. We're not doing that next Friday night. And see, this is the way dreams work. This is the way we grow. We get a picture of something. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more the picture gets. And the more the picture gets, the closer we become to God. And every step we take, there's going to be a battle for that. Because Satan is not going to want you to improve. Satan's going to fight you in the job front. He's going to fight you in the family front. He's going to fight you in the kids front. He's going to fight you in the boss. I mean, he's going to fight you every way he can. But again, what I say a minute, we work from victory. And so it is a process. Say process. Life is a process. Listen to what David said in Psalms 34, 1 through 4. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all his kindness to me. Yes, I will, because I need his kindness and grace. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. For I cried to him and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Who's going to free you from your fears?
The Lord.
Who else is going to free you from your fears? Nobody. The world is going to do everything it can do. What do you think? I cannot pronounce that name of that terrorist group.
Antifa? Antifa.
Whatever it's called. Y'all know what it's called. What is their primary goal? Fear. But fear. Because if I can get you in fear, I can control you. And that's exactly what Satan does. If he can get you in fear, he can control you. Because fear is nothing more than a control point. It's opposite of faith. And fear says, because if I'm in fear, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to look to somebody who will use my fear and control me through it. And that can be through anything. Churches even do it. Some of the high churches, they use fear to control their congregations all the time. And it's wrong. David says in verse 4, For I cried to him, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Because if I'm free from fear, and I have been not set free, but made free, then I am a different person. In the same manner that God set David free, he's delivered you and me from bondage. Page 2, number 2. The second thing that's important to know in order to see these God-given dreams become a reality is for God's delight to become your delight. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay, we want to say, God will give me the desires of my heart. Back it up, people. What's the first thing part of that say? Delight yourself in the Lord. What does delight yourself in the Lord? It means make yourself delightful to the Lord. And he'll give you whatever you want. He'll give you the desire of your heart if you make yourself delightful to him. The delight is to be soft and pliable. It is to put his interests and his priorities above your own. And when you realize that your own plans and pursuits are different from God's, then you must choose to be soft towards him and be changed. Your soft and tender heart towards God becomes a powerful source of strength. And when you're strong in God, you become hard and intolerant of the flesh and weaknesses. Did you hear what I just said? So how does this guy over here, how is he doing this? Because as he grows in the Lord, you start becoming intolerant of that habit, of that sin, of that weakness. Why? Because you're delighting yourself in the Lord, which means you're becoming delightful to the Lord. And as you become delightful to the Lord, you become more pliable. As you become more pliable, you become more sensitive. As you become more sensitive, then as you continue to do those things, he can deal with you on them and take those out of you. And because you get to where, oh, I don't like the flesh feeling like that. And you cast it down. But you have to become delightful to the Lord. Anybody here?
Yes, sir.
So it is essential to feed your spirit a steady diet of the Word of God so that when trouble comes, and it will, you can draw strength from your spirit instead of reacting in your flesh. When you allow your heart, what's the heart? The spirit and the soul. When you allow your heart, your spirit and your soul to lead your life, you will find yourself at peace and successful. It is when your flesh leads or fear controls you that things become unbearable and out of control. Page 2, number 3. Make the decision to become soft towards God, sensitive to his leading and receptive to his directions. Then you will abide in him and you'll get the results when you pray. 1 John 5:7, Jesus said this. This is a very familiar scripture. I'm going to read it again in a little bit in a different translation to get a different perspective on it. So go ahead and pop that one up on the screen if you would. If you abide in me, if, again, we have an if. We had an if a minute ago, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, it's kind of the same thing, because how do you abide in him? In his word, and he is his word. So if you abide in me, and my words, which is me, abide in you, you can ask whatever you want, and it shall be done for you. If. See, we want to quote the last part of all these scriptures. You know, yeah. If I ask, if I have a desire, God will meet my desire. Well, he will if. Say if.
Yeah.
Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I got one person, it's okay. So to delight in God is to make his priorities yours. And this becomes your key to successful prayer and effectiveness. When you delight in the Lord, you can be swayed by his gentle nudge and influenced by his by the least little word in the Spirit of God. It is your delight to go where he says go, give when he says give, and stand when he says stand. And you have become soft and pliable in his hand. Page 3, number 1. The third thing that's important to know in order to see these God-given dreams come to pass is for his dreams to become your dreams. A God-given dream is bigger than you are. It is the hope of something beyond your natural abilities. You can't make your God-given dreams come true without his help. If it's something you can do, it is not from God. Because God always thinks bigger than you do. And the desires of your heart are God's dreams for you in seed form. I want to say that again. It's on page 3, number 1, but the desires of your heart are God's dreams for you in seed form. His word is the seed that will develop your dream. When God's word is hidden in your heart, doing his will becomes your inner desire, and that desire will guide you directly into the center of his dream for you. When you are honest with yourself, you can trust your inner desires and see God develop a plan to direct you where he wants to go by being in your heart. You can begin to move toward your dream, build plans with his help, and bring those dreams to life. But fear has kept many people from living their dream. How many have ever started a business? How many have you ever started a new job? How many have you ever been called into the boss's office? Unexpectedly. What's the first thing that tries to hit you?
Fear.
What if? What if? What if? What if? Fear. Fear that they would, you know, fear that you're not going to make the right decision. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what others might think of them. And these are all, they're all real fears, but are all based on wrong information. Fear is faith in the wrong things. Faith believes what God has said. Fear believes what the devil has said about the inadequacy of your own ability. I'll say it again. Faith believes what God has said. Fear believes what the devil has said about the inadequacy of your own ability. Fear does not believe God's word will work for you. Your dreams are seeds of God's plan in your life. That thing that's been nudging on you. Some of you, God told you to do something 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. It's been in there. It's been dormant. You know it's there. But you just ignore it. You're afraid, well, now it's too late. Now I'm too old. Now I'm this. Now I'm that. You breathing?
Yep.
It's not too late. Your dreams are seeds of God's plan for your life. And many times I have known the directions that God wanted me to pursue. So I began to sow seeds of faith by speaking the word of God in prayer and by giving offerings. And these acts become then tools in the hand of God to bring those dreams into my life. Page 3, number 2. The fourth thing that is important to know in order to see these God-given dreams become a reality is by understanding that God's dreams become reality when his power is demonstrated through you. God's dreams become reality when his power is demonstrated through you. Now listen to this next statement. It's in your notes. Everything God does in you, he wants to do through you. Everything God does in you, he wants to do through you. When you are healed, he wants to use you to bring healing to others. When you prosper, he will use you as a distributor of wealth to others. God wants to demonstrate His power and lordship through His body, which is the church. You are the place of His power on the earth because you have become His dwelling place. Number three, when you pray, your confidence is not in yourself. It is in the fact that you are in harmony with God's desires and what you ask is in accordance with His word. Now, we read John 15, 7 a minute ago. I want to read what Jesus said again. I want to read it in the Passion Translation this time. But if you live in life unity, there's a wrong word up there. I asked you guys last night to make sure your version matched my version. Take that down and fix it, and we'll come back to it. Make sure it matches what's in my notes. So, I'm just going to go with that first part of that while they're fixing that. If you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, if you live in life union, if you live in life union with me, somebody tell me what that means.
You're one with Him.
Okay, if you're one with Him.
In Him.
If you live in life union with me. What'd you say?
Marriage.
Okay, yeah, like a marriage. If you live in life union with me, you have a word ask, it's speak. Look at my notes. If you live in life union with me, life union implies that we're together. That I'm not a Sunday Christian that I put on my Sunday face and I go to church. Life union implies, thank you, life union implies that we are doing life together. Okay? So are you doing life with Christ? Or are you just count on Him when you need Him? But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you. Now, how are His words going to live powerfully within you if you're not living in life union with Him? Okay? Let's keep going. Okay, but if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can speak whatever you desire and it will be done. Jesus prayed a lot. But when it was time to get something done, did He pray anymore? What did He do? He spoke. So if you're living in life union with Him, if you are living life with Him, and He's just not a casual thing that's out here. If you're living life union with Him and His words are living powerfully within you, which means you've got to be in the Word and confessing the Word and speaking the Word so you know what the Word says, then you can speak whatever you desire and it will be done. That's powerful. That is powerful. When you know God's will, and what is God's will? His Word. So when you know God's will, which is His Word, fear and unbelief have to go. Your faith is in the power of God's Word that has the ability to bring into existence whatever you're believing for, just like He said it would. Now, look at 1 John 5, 13 through 15. It says this. And John's writing, and he says, I've written this letter to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, or in Jesus. So he's writing to Christians. So that you will be assured and know without doubt that you have eternal life. And since we have this confidence, what confidence? That we know Christ, we are Christians, and we have eternal life. We can also have great boldness before Him. Now, go back to that last verse. I'm living life with him in union, in John 15, 7. I'm living life union with him. His words are powerfully in me. And when I speak, whatever I desire, it is done. So go back to verse 14 in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. Why? Because I'm doing life with him. For if we present any request agreeable to his will, he will hear us. How do I know if a request is agreeable to his will? It lines up with what his word says. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, as long as it's lining up with his word and it's his will, we also know that we have obtained the request that we ask of him. Are there any questions in there? Any ifs, ands, or buts in there? You do this, you get this. This is black and white. God will demonstrate his obedience and victory over everything God has done to destroy mankind. And he wants to demonstrate it through you. So when you live in the will of God, everything in your life increases. You're called to demonstrate God's victory over sickness and poverty. And that means that he wants you healthy and he wants you abundantly supplied. I mean, he just does. God's dream will reveal his wisdom through his people, which is you and me. Ephesians 3:10 says, his intent was that now, through the church, the various aspects of God's wisdom should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. So what does that mean? Go right back to what we were just talking about. So it is his intent that through the church, who's the church? We are the church, not this institution, each individual. We are the church. Through the church, the very aspects of God's wisdom, which is what we've been talking, all of this is God's wisdom about living life with him, speaking the word of God. It's all God's wisdom. And it snuck up on Satan. Satan didn't see it coming. And so that the various aspect of God's wisdom should be made known. Who's going to make it known, though? We are. To the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. To Satan and the demons. Page 3, verse 4. God's word is your source of strength in each step that you take in your dream. It delivers you. It stirs your desires, reveals the dreams, and empowers you to receive and demonstrate God's abundance. Abide in the word. Hide it in your heart, meditate on it, and speak it with faith. And you'll find yourself living inside of your dreams. And that's how I live. That's how I have to live. And it's the only way to really live. I'm telling you this morning to be a dreamer. Because dreaming, it can happen. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. The only thing that's keeping your dreams from reality is you. Page 4, number 1, we've said all that. Now, look at every believer. God has deposited his ideas and his plans and his desires in our lives. He has an amazing future and a plan for each person, which is waiting to be discovered. And today you have in your heart interests and hopes and dreams, and many of them are God-given. It is one who planted them. He's the one that planted them like seeds inside of you. Now, he expects you to unwrap them, nurture and feed them, believe and receive them. He wants his plans to become your plans and his ways to become your ways. And one of my personal favorite scriptures read in the offering, it is Jeremiah 1:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And these hopes and dreams that God gives can be embraced, understood, and cultivated in our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 5 in the Message says, knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. What do we talk about? We talked about living in union with Christ. We talked about the wisdom of God, which is because we got the Word of God inside of us. Now, because we have all of that deep inside of us, because we have the Spirit of God within us, the Scripture says, knowing what is right is like deep water in the heart. A wise person draws from that well within. Well, the only way you can have that well within that has wisdom in it is by getting in the Word of God. And there can be a multitude of obstacles and problems that try to hinder us from seeing God's given hopes and dreams come reality. And one of the most powerful examples, we just hit it this morning a little bit, is Joseph. So as I said, it's in Genesis 37. You got this young man. He has a couple of dreams. He tells his brothers. They hate him. He shares the dreams with them. He shares the dreams with his father. He doesn't like it either. The dreams come and he tells people. He tells family, and he's going to save his family. He's going to save his nation. But his brothers hated him for his dreams. And they plotted how to kill him, but they didn't. They ended up selling him into slavery. So he's sold into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in a very influential man's house named Potiphar. Potiphar sees the blessings of God on Joseph, so he just turns everything over to him. Smart move, right? So if somebody came in your business and everything they touch prospered, would you just keep giving them more? Yeah, of course. You know, anybody with any sense would do that. Well, so that's what happened, and so his entire house prospered because of Joseph. Now, and that can become our testimony. It's number two on your insert. You see, your business, your job, your company can be blessed because you're there. And God will honor you just as he did Joseph if you handle yourself like Joseph did. And what did Joseph do that brought such powerful impact? He refused, say refused, to allow bitterness and unforgiveness towards his brothers to influence him. Man, we need some of that. We need people that refuse, that are made free, not set free, made free, that get into life with Christ, that start speaking the word of God in power, and let the bitterness and unforgiveness fall, and let's get on with life. Let's make whatever changes we need to make, but do them in love and do them in peace and do them correctly. You know, and I'm not just talking about America at this point. I'm talking about in our own lives and our own families. We need to choose to walk with God and bring his blessings into every situation in our life. See, Potiphar loved Joseph because of the great impact that he had on Potiphar's house. Unfortunately, Mrs. Potiphar loved Joseph. Well, she lusts Joseph. And she wanted Joseph to be hers. And every day she went after him and she pursued him for sex. And every day he declined and held on to his honor. And finally she got so mad she accused him of what she wanted him to do. And Potiphar feels betrayed. You know, he's going to take his wife's word and he gets mad. He has Joseph thrown in prison. And yet even in prison, in the injustice, Joseph didn't get bitter. He stood in faithfulness. He didn't complain. He didn't compromise. He held fast to who he was. And even in prison, God prospered Joseph until the jailer promoted him to the most powerful position in the prison. And there he ministered to two men. They had dreams. He interpreted both their dreams. One was the cupbearer for the Pharaoh. And he was reinstated to work for the Pharaoh. And the chief baker was executed. Now, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And the chief magicians and the wise men of Egypt had no clue. But then the cupbearer remembered Joseph and told Pharaoh what had happened in prison. So Pharaoh summons Joseph. We all know this story. Joseph's cleaned up and brought into Pharaoh. And God gave Joseph the interpretation and understanding of Pharaoh's dream. It revealed abundant harvest for 7 years, followed by 7 years of famine. And along with the interpretation then, see, God didn't just give the interpretation. He gave what to do with it. That's called wisdom. So along with the interpretation, God gave him wisdom to know what to do. So when Potiphar heard the wisdom of God coming out of this young man, he promoted him to the place of prime minister in the entire land of Egypt. I'm on page 4, number 3. So from prisoner to prime minister in a day. Nothing's too hard for God. And I've told you this before. God didn't cause all of this, but God used all of this. God gave dreams to Joseph when Joseph was young, about he's going to be a great leader. Now, he didn't understand them, but he had those dreams. He's abused by his family. He's sold into slavery. Looks like a setback. He winds up in Potiphar's house, and not only does he wind up there, he ends up running Potiphar's house. So on a day-to-day basis, and Potiphar's a very high official in the Egyptian government, so on a day-to-day basis, when people come to Potiphar's house, who is he learning to talk to, communicate with at their level? who's he learning to deal with on a day-to-day basis? The upper crust of Egypt. The higher-ups in Egypt. All right? So he gains that skill. So now he ends up in prison. And he ends up running the prison. But now who is he learning to communicate with and manage? The worst of the worst. So through these few years, God taught him through the circumstances how to deal with the upper crust of Egypt and how to deal with the lowest part of Egypt. Why? Skill set. Because once you become prime minister, you got to deal with everybody. If you're going to do it in wisdom and love and not through, you know, dictating, not saying just get out of my way. And by reading that, you can understand Joseph did that. He seemed to be a very compassionate man. And so he, through the circumstances of life that looked impossible for him to reach his dream, God used those situations to build the skill set he needed to fulfill his dream. Remember in our last series what Paul said? He said, yeah, I know I'm in a Roman prison, and yeah, to Philippi, the church in Philippi, he said, yeah, I know it looks bad to you, but it's really the best thing that could have happened. So, and Joseph kind of said the same thing. When his brothers finally came to see him, he said, you know, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. So it all worked out, but through the bad circumstances, God didn't cause them, but he used them. You get that? So a vital key to this story is power is in the midst of you know, after attack, after attack, after attack, Joseph refused to compromise, but remained faithful to the dream God had given him. He would not let the lies, the hatred, the abuse, you get it? The lies, the hatred, the abuse, and the jealousy turn him away from the dream that was in his heart. He kept his focus on the God he served and the dream that God had given him. And one of the most important aspects of continuing success is focus. Say focus. If Satan can change your focus, say focus. If Satan can change your focus, he can steal your strength, he can steal your dream, he can steal all of it. Because dreams take, I didn't bring one this morning, I should have. If I take a flashlight and I shine it on that wall, it's a very broad, big light, right? But if I take a laser pointer and I shine it on that wall, it's a pinpoint. Okay? So the laser is focused. A standard flashlight is just out there. It's illuminating, but it's not focused. When God gives you something to do, normally you feel empowered and focused. And as soon as you feel that way, what's life going to do to you? Life's going to come against you. Satan's going to cause this and that. I mean, things are going to come against you. And if you have that, if you allow that pinpoint laser focus to start broadening out to where all of a sudden it is out of focus, you can't run your business, your home, you can't run the things you need to run the way that you want to run them and the way God intended you to run them. Why? Because you're so distracted by all the junk life is throwing at you. Anybody ever been there but me? So what do you got to do? You got to bring that thing back in to that laser focus. Number four in your insert. Those who rise up successfully and receive God's best are those who are faithful to discover God's will and then pursue it with all of their might. God's looking for nothing less than someone who will think his thoughts, pray his prayers, speak his words, and pursue the hopes and dreams he has given them until they become reality, no matter what it takes or how long it takes. So I'm here this morning with a word from God for you. And that word is this: don't let the dream die. Some of you have been so beat up, so many distractions going on, that the dream is so fuzzy now. You got to pull the dream back in. Don't allow circumstances or what other people might think or say keep you from everything that God has for you. As I close, I just want to read it one more time, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, man, in this world today, probably the only way you live is by fear. And fear will destroy you. Fear will destroy your life. Fear will destroy the things that make you you. There's only one way to get yourself back. You say, well, you know, I thought about this, Rocky, and when I can get my life kind of together, I'll come to God. Well, if you heard this message, you heard me talk about the guy sitting in this empty chair up here, and it doesn't matter how messed up your life is. God will help you work that out. You'll never work it out by yourself. You need God as much, if not more, than anybody else. Just forget all that garbage. You say, well, you know, God will want me to be perfect tomorrow. You go back and listen to this message. I didn't say that. God will help you start working towards becoming more like Him. But He's not going to beat you bloody tomorrow because you make a mistake. That's why Jesus came. Now, He does want you to get better. He will expect you to get better. And He'll correct you when you don't. But His corrections are not like Satan's. Satan will just beat you up one side and down the other. And then tell you what a lousy person you are. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord today, then you do need to accept Him as your Savior. No ifs, no ands, no buts. And let the dream start. If you know Christ, but you don't serve Him, and you know you don't, you know who He is, you know that He really is God's Son, and He did die for you, but you need to just get that relationship right. So if that's you and you're here this morning, you want to rededicate your life to Him, or you want to make Jesus Lord, just lift a hand. We can take care of that. If you're watching or listening to me, just acknowledge it before God. We've got to get right with God. And then we've got to move on with God. We can all say this prayer together, so please say it with me, whether you're in this room or you're watching or listening. Please say it with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before You. I want a dream. I want to live out Your dream because I know it's a lot bigger than my dream. But I know the first step is for Jesus to be my Lord. So Jesus, I proclaim this day that You are my Lord and my Savior. I receive everything You did for me on Calvary. I receive You sitting at God's right hand, making intercession for me today. Thank You. I receive what You did for me. And I ask You to give me dreams and help me to fulfill them. It's in Your name I pray. Amen. Now, still every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here today, we're going to talk about dreams for 2 more weeks. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know there's things inside of me that God put there, but I have not been faithful to them. I have not managed them correctly. I want to just ask God to forgive me for that this morning, and I just want to get on the right track. I want to follow His dreams for my heart. And I'm going to do everything in my power to start doing that today. If that's you, just lift a hand if you're here. Thank You for all the hands. Father, You see the hands and the hearts, both in this room and outside this room. Father, these are people that truly desire to serve You, truly desire to be close to You, truly desire to be more than they are. I thank You for this wake-up call. I ask You, Father, to help us all to realize we have been made free, that we are righteous in You, that we have every tool we need to become the person that you desire for us to be. Help us, Lord God, to walk in our dreams, fulfill our dreams, stand firm on our dreams, not give an inch. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that was a blessing to you. I love talking about these things, and I understand some people get offended when I do, and that's okay. I mean, it's not okay. I don't start out every Sunday morning saying, well, how many people can I offend today? But I do understand that people have different opinions about things, and I do want to clarify one thing. The guy we were talking about, and I asked the question, if he sins this week, is it sin? Yes, it's sin. Is God going to count it towards him as sin? No, because he doesn't know it's sin yet. But next week, after he gets a revelation, now he knows it. Now God's going to start really dealing with him about it. And that is God's way. You know, the Bible says we have to work out our own salvation. We all get saved the same way. But then we have a journey to take. You know, unless you think you're perfect already, and if that's the case, then you really need to get to know God. You'll find out just how not perfect you are. So, we are perfect in Him. But we're not perfect vessels in us. So that's why we have to stay in Him. Because as we're in Him, we become more like Him. So, just understand that dreams and visions, God uses them. He used them all through the Bible to drive people, motivate people. And He's not done. He's not done with me, and I don't believe He's done with you. And Father, I do thank You for the Word of God and for the opportunity to minister the Word. I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is filled with nothing but, oh my goodness, things that help us to become better. Some of the times those things aren't easy or fun, and I acknowledge that and I get that. But in the big scheme of life, man, the way You let us live is amazing. And I thank You and I praise You for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you. Bless them, Lord. Take care of each and every person. I thank You, Lord, that COVID-19 has no place in this place or in this body. I thank You, Father, that we are free from disease. We are free from plagues. I thank You, Lord God, for giving wisdom to doctors and scientists. I thank You, Lord, for ridding us of this plague. But I thank You, Lord, that we don't allow it to take us down. We stay strong in faith, that we walk in faith, whether we're here or whether we're watching remotely. I thank You, Lord God, for a time we will all come back together. And I just look forward to that day. But in the meantime, I thank You, Lord God, for this house, whether it's in the house or out through the internet. I praise You for it. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great week. Have a wonderful week. Again, if you have a youth going to camp this week, we need to see you probably in 5 minutes or so, just right up here. It would be great. Thank you, and you are dismissed.